Frontier Missions Journal. Stories of hope for the unreached with Adventist Frontier Missions.
Hello, mission friends. Susie and Fidel currently serve in West Africa. One of the common problems in that region is demon possession. In a previous story Susie told, she spoke about Clarice that battled with demon possession at that time. There were multiple times when Susie had to go back to pray for her deliverance. A few years had passed and Susie has an update on Clarice for us. To start off, here is a short snippet of the first story Susie told.
Clarice lived across the street from a member of the church. She had been sick for a while, and they had gone from hospital to hospital. At the best hospital in the country, which happens to be in our town, they told her that there was nothing physically wrong with her. After having done multiple tests, that her sickness wasn't for the hospital. It was caused by satanic attack.
And now for our first story for today, titled Deliverance from Self or Satan. After that, Susie has three more separate adventures to share from her time in West Africa.
Clarice came to my house one day and was all hunched over and having a hard time breathing and was in pain. She walked like she was carrying a heavy load on her shoulders. It was already evening and we live a ways from town. So I took her to the living room and gave her a chair and some water. And then I went to talk to Fidel. I felt that what was going on was a satanic attack and nothing that needed a hospital. So Fidel came to the living room and he and I started singing and praying. And she went into like a trance. When she is under attack, she doesn't know what is going on around her. So we rebuked Satan and she started to squirm in her chair. I had brought out the mat because sometimes these things take them to the floor. But this time she didn't, and her lower stomach area started to move in weird ways like there was something in there and that wanted to get out. We continued to pray and rebuke Satan, and finally she was freed. I took her home as it was already night out, but Satan wasn't finished with her yet. She had gone to the hospital for a treatment, which was to take 10 days, and then she was to go back. So 12 days later, she returned with much pain, and they gave her some other medication. But she took one, and her whole body hurt, so they told her to stop. But then Satan still wasn't finished, and he sent her into a depression and tried to get her to kill herself. But we did spiritual warfare again, and I prayed every time I woke up that night, and she was better the next day. 2 days later, she arrived at our house at about 11 a.m., She looked winded and not normal and all hunched over again as before. And she said she was going to leave soon. I gave her some water and told her to drink and then took her to the living room and had her lay on the couch. I then went and talked to Fidel, whom God had kept at home that day for the reason which we were soon to find out. I then saw a guy with a motorcycle sitting in my yard. I asked him what he was doing, and he said that, and she said she wanted him to wait for her. Fidel told him to leave, but he wanted to see Gladys first. She saw him and told him to leave, so he did. Fidel then came to the living room, and we started to sing, and this time our student missionary was in the room working, but soon joined us in singing. Gladys rapidly went into her trance-like state, and the spirits that had again gained possession of her started to react to the singing. And she twisted and turned and stretched. I came and put my hand on her stomach, and then Fidel prayed and rebuked Satan. After about 30 minutes, she was finally freed again. She rested and finally woke up and looked around, surprised at where she was, and said, "Oh!" I said, "You are at my house in Sapunga." But she was still looking lost. But then she recognized both me and our student missionary, Este, and greeted us like she had just arrived. She then asked me if she had been there since the morning, as she often comes in the morning. I said no, that she had arrived about 11 o'clock. I asked her if she wanted some water, and she said she did, not realizing She had had a whole cup about 30 minutes ago. I told her that she had come with a motorcycle and asked if she knew the guy, but she didn't even know how she had arrived here. I described a bit the guy who brought her, thinking maybe it was a neighbor, but she didn't know who it was. But he hadn't taken any money, so it wasn't a motorcycle taxi. She had no memory of anything that had happened, not how she got to my house, nor anything about the prayer, nor the guy who brought her. She did say that during the prayer time, it felt as if they were holding her arm and leg in fire. In any case, when we had finished the deliverance, her respiration was back to normal. The pain was gone, the lower stomach area was not hurting anymore either, and she was back in her right mind again. He sent his angel to bring her to us where she could be delivered. I don't know if the guy who brought her was an angel, or if he was just directed by God to bring her. We may never know, but he brought her to where she could be freed. And he kept Fidel at home that day to do this work. May God be praised. He is our strong deliverer and fortress, and he directs our paths.
It is quite evident that Satan will not relent when he sees an opportunity to take control of Clarice. I praise God for the willingness and dedication Susie and Fidel have to help Clarice find deliverance every time she falls prey to Satan. In the next story, we have something a bit more fun, but also dangerous. Susie learned that Satan wasn't the only enemy they faced, but these enemies are more surprising and unexpected at times. Who or what could these enemies possibly be? This story is titled Crawling, Creeping, and Hiding.
Snakes, snakes, vipers, and more snakes. It seems that each day, or at least several times per week, someone is seen or killing or trying to kill a snake. We burned and planted rice in the lower half of our land that sent snakes up into every part. Those who were in the commercial garden find one every few days. Often they can kill them, but some escape outside the fence. Just today, Abraham came running back to the house saying he had seen a snake go into the bush. Sometimes we have a laugh filled with gratitude, such as yesterday, when in the garden the guys were picking chili. And since chili grows under the plants right now, as they are just starting to produce, Joel was sitting on the ground, scooting backwards and picking. While on the ground, he felt something hitting the back of his pants and shirt. Thinking it was just branches and weeds, he didn't pay much attention to it until he got up. And lo and behold, there was a dead viper underneath where he had been sitting. He had unknowingly killed the viper with his behind. And the branches that had been hitting in his back was a viper tail. I assume he was sitting on its head and the tail was whipping around. In any case, when he explained it Wednesday night prayer meeting, we all had a good laugh, thinking that God had protected him. Another day, they were picking okra, and the other guy, Ernest, saw, just as Joel was putting his foot down, a viper coiled under the okra plant. They were able to kill it also. Those things are small and thin and hard to see. One day last year, when I was collecting karate nuts, I came back to the house and poured them into a bowl. And out came a very thin, small viper. Thankfully, I have cats. And they were there to grab it. And in 1 minute, they had eaten the whole thing. A few weeks ago, I was walking in the garden, and suddenly I saw a brown snake, coiled, just laying there. I got out of there and hustled back to the house to get a shovel to kill it. But by the time I came back, it was gone. Last week, when I went to the garden to look for mushrooms, there was a long, over a meter long, dark brown snake that slithered out of the garden. Another day, when Joel was coming back from our house and from the shower outside in the middle of the day, he had to take a quick sidestep as he almost stepped on a serpent that was lying in his path. That one got away. Every morning we pray for God's protection over the workers and us and the animals, that he would protect us from the snakes. We are tromping around in the bush, and if not us, then the kids with the animals and the guys in the garden. I just pray and go. I know they are there, but I rarely see them. I know that God protects us as we tromp around chasing goats, mostly from where they are not supposed to be. We praise God for the protection He gives us every day in protecting us from snakes and vipers and scorpions.
Susie's next vignette is titled Sudden Attack.
It was early in the morning, and there was a call from the wife of one of our workers. She called and said that Joe had been stung by a scorpion. We told her to get some charcoal, grind it up, and mix it with water and plaster it on the area that hurt. It didn't need to be clean charcoal since it was going on a completely closed skin, so any old charcoal would do. Our charcoal is just that, with no additives. So she ground the charcoal and added water and put it on the area that was hurting. And normally after 1 to 3 hours, the pain is gone, instead of like a whole day. But that night, we got a call again from the wife saying that the health of her husband wasn't getting better and the pain was still bad. So Fidel realized rapidly that this wasn't just a case of simple scorpion sting, but a satanic attack. He started praying for him first with his wife, and then he spoke directly with him over the phone and prayed for him and heard that he had had some bad dreams about someone he knew and they were trying to attack him. Fidel then called a couple of the evangelists and another worker and told them to go and pray for him at his house. We were in the south, so we were not close by to go there. So the brothers went to the house and started praying and rebuking Satan. The pain subsided, and quickly he regained his health, and the pain went away. Satan is always working to try and destroy, but God is always the victor when we call on Him for help. Many times Satan uses dreams and other objects to attack brothers and sisters, but when we call on God, He is faithful to deliver.
The next story is titled, The Baby That Wouldn't Come Out.
In Tangueta, there is a lady named Jeanne. Now, Jeanne was a member of the church in Tangueta, and Jeanne had already had 2 children. Jeanne was now pregnant with her 3rd child and was getting bigger by the day, as pregnant women do. The Sabbath of this story, she hadn't come to church, and when the ladies got together in the afternoon for women's ministry, we prayed for her and then we went to visit her. When we got to her house, we found her laying on a mat outside, nauseous and having contractions. She said she had been to the hospital last Sunday and nothing happened, so she left on Thursday to go back home. And that is where we found her. She said that the hospital said that the baby needed to turn its head down. I asked her if her water had broken, and she said it had. I wasn't pleased about that. So we all told her she needed to go back to the hospital, because it isn't good that she is at the house. It seemed that there was some evil trying to keep that child from being born and making it die. So after encouraging her to go back that day, we all prayed that God would deliver this child without complications. And if there was any evil trying to stop this baby from coming out, that Satan would be rebuked. We all left, and she apparently went to the hospital because the next day she gave birth to a big baby boy. The hospital told her she still had a month. In any case, the baby was ready to come, and God opened the canal, and out he came. We praise God for His work in chasing any demons who were trying to stop this child from being born. The next week, we went as a group to meet the baby and pray for him and his mother.
Phew, what a journey. I praise God for the work that Susie and Fidel are doing. They are faced with many dangers, but every time they are a true testament of God's protection and deliverance in their daily lives. Thank you for listening to Frontier Missions Journal. God bless.